Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Both Murray and Allen had trust issues with Sumlin, which is something we certainly speculated on.
If you promise the same thing to everybody, there's only one quarterback on the team. I don't think this is as much of a Kyle Allen, Kyler Murray issue as it is a Texas A&M
Kevin Sumlin issue.
Coaching staff issue.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Whether it's Sumlin or Spavital or combination or whatever,
right.
It's not a good look. Jones asks, are y'all going to talk about how the Warriors are playing a different sport than the rest of the NBA?
Man, last night's a really, really good example of that. There's no convincing me that they're not going to win the NBA title.
Have you noticed what the Spurs have been doing?
The Spurs are fantastic.
22-5, and they're still working LaMarcus Aldridge in.
Yep. Spurs are 8-5 on the road, 14-0 at home. If they don't have home court advantage, they can't beat the Warriors 4 out of 7.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first 2 hours, including what you just heard there, it's all available at podcastarena.com. Check it out. And lots of good stuff from the first 2 hours. Lots of sports, lots of stuff. Just all good things.
Yeah.
And also on Podcast Arena, you can order that great audiobook of ours as a Christmas gift for the degenerate in your life. So check it out. I finally have gotten on Facebook. James asked me why I think the Jedis are the bad ones. I think the Jedis were liars.
Stop it.
They were liars. They went out, they tried to kill Palpatine.
Just admit that you're one of the bads.
No. You know what? I appreciate that they look at all sides of the Force.
Did you see this? Did you see the theory that Jar Jar Binks was actually a Sith?
I did see that.
I did not see that. Because
I actually read it, and it
realize how much of your life you wasted.
Yeah, but it actually does make sense because, like, the clips that they show, they have him doing like all these backflips and stuff, and he actually looks like a skilled fighter. Like in all the fighting scenes, he looks like a doofus, but they tell you that if you look at it, it's actually all calculated.
Interesting.
And apparently, I guess one of the theory was that he was going to be the ultimate villain at the end of the first three, I guess episode 1, 2, and 3. But I think there was some backlash to that. So That was just a theory.
Here's why I think the Sith are more honest than the Jedi.
Do tell.
Remember the big battle scene at the end of the third one where Obi-Wan says only a Sith deals in absolutes?
Yeah.
Is that not an absolute? Therefore, you're a liar.
Okay.
You're not trustworthy. Just because you have a cute little green guy running things, it doesn't mean you're trustworthy.
Okay.
I just love tweaking people because, you can't say that, man. Don't say bad things about the Jedi. Dude, they're not real.
Yeah, I just don't care enough to get too worked up about that.
I don't either. I like tweaking people because they get mad about it. But you could make a pretty good case that the Jedi were just as evil.
I think I'm like at least one of the least worked up people for Star Wars. And I'll watch it, but I'm just not like... There's people who are wearing their Star Wars gear today and they're going out to watch the movie tonight. And I'm just... not for me.
No, I'm going to wait for it to calm down. I don't want to be, I'm not going to be one of those guys who's out there. I don't like crowded theaters anyway. I like going when there's 8 people in there. So I'm probably waiting about 3 weeks before I do it.
Yeah.
And if there's spoilers or spoilers, I don't really care. 713-780-ESPN. Joshua asks, how about being a dark Jedi?
And, is that a Mace Windu joke?
I don't know. I don't know what that was. Double Down says, so Jar Jar was going to Kaiser Soze us?
Maybe so.
That would have been funny, I have to admit. Where he limps out of there, and then the next thing you know, he's getting picked up by his lawyer friend. And it's like, that's the last you'll ever see of him. That would have been kind of cool. Although, that would be stealing the ending from the other movie, which...
Yeah, not cool.
Not cool at all. For the Win, the USA Today site did has basically narrowed down the NFL field to only 8 teams that can win the Super Bowl. I think it's less than that. I wanted to bounce them off of you and see what you think of these teams, whether or not they can actually win the Super Bowl. And we'll start with number 8 on their list, the Green Bay Packers.
I'm not going to say no to a team that's got Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I know they're not playing well, but I could see them getting hot and getting through and making the Super Bowl. And if they get there, I wouldn't want to play them. Number 7, the Kansas City Chiefs.
I think they're very good. I don't think they're a Super Bowl team.
I think it depends on their path.
They could be a Super Bowl team. I don't think they're a Super Bowl winning team.
All right. The Denver Broncos.
I don't think they're a Super Bowl winning team.
Yeah, I would not put them on this list. Number 5, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
They could win the Super Bowl.
I think all the rest.
But God, they suck on defense. But I still can't get over it.
All the rest of these teams are pretty obvious. Panthers, Seahawks, Patriots, and Cardinals. I think we all agree that those teams are capable of winning the Super Bowl.
Did you say Bengals?
I did not say Bengals. The Bengals did not make their list.
Not make the list, huh?
Which,
that's okay. I would have poo-pooed them anyway.
Yeah, well, especially without Andy Dalton, which sounds weird to say that without Andy Dalton, this team doesn't really have a chance. But, to me... The only teams that I could see winning the AFC are the Patriots, the Steelers, maybe the Chiefs. I just don't think the Broncos are good enough.
I'm with you.
And I don't think the Bengals are good enough.
The one thing I will say is the Broncos are, boy, I'd argue they're the best defensive team in the AFC. Maybe the whole league. So, I mean, we've seen teams with unimpressive offensives make it a long way.
Yeah.
But, man, their offense is really not impressive.
No, it's not. And, you know, these Kubiak teams, we've seen it here. They wear down late.
All right, if I told you, pick, you can have 3 teams versus the field, what 3 teams do you take to win the Super Bowl?
3 teams versus the field, huh? Patriots, for okay. Sure. I got to take the Seahawks until further notice. And I think the Steelers would be my other one. You give me those 3, I feel pretty damn good. Because I think I'm getting the AFC championship out of that.
I think you are, too.
And
I'll take Patriots, Seahawks, Cardinals.
Yeah, see, and I, by the same token, you're probably getting the NFC champ. Although, that one's tougher to me because I think the Panthers, the Packers, those are legitimate teams. But I like those. I mean, that's not a bad choice at all. So, anyway.
I think it's going to be hard for anybody to beat the Patriots.
I agree.
You know, because they're probably going to have to, now that Cincinnati is and Denver both lost and they've fallen a game behind them, it's going to be hard for someone to catch New England for home field advantage.
The only one that I could see beating them in there is the Steelers if Gronk gets hurt.
Yeah.
That's a different team. So, all right. Let's grab a quick phone call. Dave. What's up, Dave?
Hey, sports guys.
Sports to you.
This is probably off topic, but they were talking about it on a show earlier today, but I really don't want to call and talk to Salisbury. I can't stand him. Hey, you know how quarterbacks used to come in the league and they sat for a year, 2 or 3 maybe, you know, learned from the pro, you know, ahead of them. And I know now with the money that they're paying them, they just can't do that. You have to throw them in right away. But, you know, it makes you so hard to, you know, to be able to tell if this guy has really got it or not. And I think, you know, Aaron Rodgers was probably the last quarterback that, you know, got to sit there and learn, you know, from Favre and, you know, what's your opinion? I mean, wouldn't it be a lot better if we could do that, have you sit for 2 or 3 years and, you know, learn from the guy ahead of you?
It'd be great. But that's just not the NFL anymore. I mean, now it's a win now league. Coaches don't have time to wait around. And especially if you're a team drafting in the top 5 and taking a big time quarterback prospect, you don't have the luxury of 5 years to develop that guy because your team sucks already. And your job is either, you know, turn it around by the next year if you're the coach that's coming back with that team, or you're taking over a new job And they're not going to wait around 5 years for you to show that you can do something. There's the patience with coaches, and it's just not the same as it was. There's no time for that.
No, and the reality is what happened with Aaron Rodgers is it's a complete outlier. I mean, almost no team that has a great quarterback drafts a guy and gives him the time to develop. And that does work better, and it has worked for a lot of teams historically, but you just can't afford to. Now, I could see this changing a little bit because now that it's not that punitive to draft a quarterback and pay him money the way you, like if you drafted Sam Bradford, you had to pay him more than starting quarterbacks right. are making. Well, now let's say your team like the Cowboys that winds up with a really high pick because you had an injury. You actually could afford to take a quarterback. If he winds up being a bust, you still got Tony Romo for a few years, but you could afford to take Goff and let him sit on the bench and learn from him for 3 years.
Right.
And most franchises aren't smart enough to do that. If you think that this is the guy or can be the guy, because you know, it so much of it is just circumstance and coaches. I mean, there are a lot of guys who probably could have succeeded in the league in better situations. I'm not 100% convinced David Carr couldn't play quarterback in the NFL at a decent level.
Just found
he got beat up and got the heart taken out of him. You see that with a lot of guys, but it's not perfect the way it is now, but I don't see it changing. I think it's going to be a rarity when teams do that. Anyway, we got a interview coming up next.
That's right. Talk to Donald Cowboy Cerrone, who's fighting for the UFC title on Saturday night on Big Fox. Is what they call it, Big Fox, not Fox Sports 1.
Ah.
Joining me now on the program is the man who will be challenging for the lightweight title on Saturday night. Donald Cowboy Cerrone is on the program. Donald, how you doing, man?
I'm very well.
You know, this is interesting to me because I feel like you're usually a guy who doesn't do a lot of talking. You're known as like a workman, a guy who just shows up and gets the job done. But everything I've read, everything I've heard, this fight, you're playing some mind games on Rafael. What's changed with you? What do you think is different about this fight? And have you noticed that yourself, or do you think it's just business as usual?
Oh, just screwing with the guy, you know? Why not? I've been bored. Just talking, getting him riled up.
Now, this is the last guy who defeated you. Does that kind of stick with you? I mean, do you take those losses that you've had along the way, and or are you one of the guys who like always hopes to get it back one day?
No, I don't even give a shit, man. I just moving forward, taking things about this fight as a whole new fight. You know, there's a title fight coming for it. That belt's mine.
What do you think has changed since you guys fought several years back? What's different about you? What's different about him?
I don't know, man. 2 years is a long time. A lot's changed. I've matured a lot in my training and my whole approach towards everything. So I don't know. More excited than anything.
The 145 title was just won, changed hands on Saturday night, and instantly the people were talking about Conor McGregor possibly being a contender at 155 and getting an immediate title shot. Is that a fight that you'd be interested in if you did win the title and that's who they approached you with? Is that a fight you'd like?
Absolutely, but first and foremost, I need to worry about RDA this Saturday. I need to go do my job. Connor did a great job finishing this fight and doing his side of the bargain. So let me hold up mine, and I'll do all the Connor talk you want as soon as this is over with.
I read that, and I've always known that you like to take your RV to these fights, and sometimes it's a long haul. And I was reading that your RV broke down, and you didn't have time to wait around for these guys to come fix it. So you fixed it yourself. How do you know how to do all this stuff? That is a very manly thing to do. I mean, obviously, fighting in a cage is pretty manly, but
I'm a man. That's what I do.
All right. I mean, that's something.
We had a water line break out here in the yard. We're out here fixing it right now, too. I mean, if something breaks, you fix it. It's just the way of life I was raised to do. So I don't know. I don't know how you know. You kind of just learn through process of doing it.
How many guys do you take with you on that RV?
This time we have eight of us, I think. Eight of us came down.
Do you have someone who is who's like pretty experienced in fixing that thing in case it does break down, or is that your department? Do you lead that fight?
Nah, none of us have any idea how to fish it. We just learned as it happened. So, who knows? Just make it work and get it done.
There's been hinting, at least from your end, that perhaps we'll see a different Rafael Dos Anjos, or maybe now that they've got the USADA rules in place. Do you really believe that about him? Do you believe that he was cheating before the new rules were implemented?
Does Cowboy believe he was cheating? Nah, he was probably just working real, real hard. Why would he take the easy way? It was probably all hard work he did, and I was just getting at him.
Okay, well, I accept that. Donald, I appreciate you taking some time with me. I know you're busy. I know you got some weight to get off of you. Best of luck in Orlando on Saturday night. This is a big fight for you, probably the biggest of your UFC career, going on 8 wins in a row. UFC on Fox, you'll be able to see it on Big Fox. Rafael Dos Anjos taking on my guest, Donald Cerrone, for the lightweight title. Best of luck, Donald. Always enjoy seeing your fights, and this one should be a great one.
You got it, buddy. Thank you.
All right, man. Donald Cerrone.
Seemed a little distracted there.
Yeah, just a little bit. He wasn't interested. That's fine.
Yeah.
We get him like that sometime.
Yeah, and a lot of times fight week, man, that happens. You know, guys are, and they're doing a bunch of interviews and, yeah, doing what they're supposed to do, as ATX said. I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Yep.
Okay. All right, 713-780-ESPN's your number if you want to get in, 713-780-3776. And a lot of people had some good thoughts on the quarterback thing, in that it's a lot of the quarterbacks are playing right away because there's no one that's better than them when they come in. And that's like when Jacksonville drafted Bortles, the idea was, okay, Chad Henne's going to start. We're going to work Bortles in slowly. Well, what happens? Chad Henne sucks. So you move up the timeline and throw Blake Bortles in.
Yeah.
And that's, and we saw it with Buffalo and E.J. Manuel. That's a guy who was supposed to sit for a couple of years. They went out and got Kevin Cobb thinking he would be the guy who could play quarterback, and he gets a concussion falling down.
You've gotten a bunch of those guys.
Yeah. And so Manuel winds up playing before his time. And a lot of guys, I think if you put them in a different situation and you give them that opportunity to sit and learn and then get them in there when they're ready, then they might have had different careers. But that's just not the reality anymore.
Yeah.
And we always talk about where you find quarterbacks and like, well, look where Kurt Warner came from, or look where Tom Brady came from. That's so rare. And you're going to miss on high picks. As often as you hit, you're going to miss on those guys. It's just so hard to find somebody who you can get into a good situation. I think a good young quarterback here and I think O'Brien does a very good job with his quarterbacks. Ryan Fitzpatrick had the best season of his career last year. Brian Hoyer was having the best season of his career this year. So I do think it would be a good place for a young quarterback to come in and sit and learn for a year behind guys like that. And the problem is you're still looking at 2017 now. Either that or you're forcing a guy who's not ready,
right?
And that's why you had to do it last year. If you had, and who knows if Derek Carr would have the same success here that he's having in Oakland or Teddy Bridgewater, but those guys, theoretically, the idea would have been to bring them in and not play them until maybe this year. But you know what, with all those injuries, they would have wound up playing here last year.
Yeah.
Because you wound up with Case Keenum playing. So I know it's the temptation. There's a lot of teams that have the right idea. They just can't pull it off. Let's try Colt.
Hey, guys, sport.
Sports to you.
All right, so why do you think Detroit's offense is so bad? Last year they had one of the top defenses in the league, but they just seemed like they can't put up points. They got Tate, Johnson, they have a great running team, Stafford, but I don't get it. They're just bad.
You think the Lions have a great running team? I don't.
No, they can't run the football. Their offensive line has been a mess this year, too.
I think the Lions, that's what it boils down to, is teams are stacking up against the Lions running the ball, and, they George Bell's been meh or hurt. Amir Abdullah he's been kind of a disappointment for them.
Flashes at times, but not consistent.
A lot of it comes down to offensive line. I think they like the Riley Reiff kid, but they've just got a lot of guys there on that offensive line that they're not they may be in love with, but just aren't very good players. And
Matt Stafford hasn't had a very good year.
Yeah, Matt Stafford hasn't had a great year. Calvin Johnson hasn't had a great year. Golden Tate didn't have the year he had last year. So, I mean, and the defense isn't the same as it was last year. I mean, that defense, a lot of it's the same, but they took the best player on that defense off of it.
Yeah.
And Haloti not as good, but Ndamukong Suh is... I remember talking about this last year, Fred. If you take personality and off the field, locker room issues.
It's not really off the field.
Yeah,
with
it's
him.
More like attitude issues. You take all that stuff out of the equation. I don't know if there's another defensive player. I mean, that's the guy I would take after J.J. Watt, I think. Like, if everything else was equal. That's the guy, you know, that's the only guy in the conversation with J.J. Watt is like that dominant of a force on the line. And you took him off that team. Things change when you lose a guy like that.
Well, because he impacts so much in terms of tying up blockers. And even when he's not making a play, they have to account for him on the field. And yes, he has some issues with stomping people's heads and stuff like that. But
he's not a nice guy.
In truth. and even
I like that, though. That's one of the things I kind of like about him.
But watching him with the Dolphins this year, he gets held just as much as J.J. Watt does, and it never gets called.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a reason for that. They miss it. I thought that getting Nada and some of the other guys they already had, that there would be a drop-off, but it wouldn't be substantial. But it's been substantial.
Yep.
There's no question. All right. Quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
Can I kick it?
Yes.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. Be happy to take your phone calls. Hey, I've got a guy that I think you will like.
Okay.
The Iowa State Athletic Director. Apparently, he blocks more people on Twitter than you do.
Oh, really?
And he was getting grief because he's pretty active on Twitter. But people are like, well, you're a state employee. You shouldn't be blocking people on Twitter. But this is his explanation for it. I'm an optimistic person, so if you want to spit on me, I don't have to take it. If you're going to be a jerk and you think you're being a smart aleck or smart ass, I don't have to listen to it. I had somebody write to me that I'm a state employee and I have no right to block people. Oh, really? Great. I mean, that's the joy of Twitter. If you want to use social media to be obnoxious, then I can use social media to not have to listen to your obnoxious, immature comments.
It's very fair.
I don't need that negativity in my life. If you want to come talk to me about it, I'll gladly talk to you about it. But, you know, shooting off a little flippant comment, that's great. I hope you feel real big about yourself. I don't have to accept it. It's a free.
Because I don't give a
shit. It's a free world for you to send it. It's a free world for me to accept it. So, he agrees with you. I kind of like that. Basically, bleep you.
Yeah.
I don't have to take your crap. I'm coming around, man. Let's try Jeff. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, how's it going, Russ?
It's going sports.
I'm just curious. I can't figure out why the Falcons were so bad because we got above average quarterback, top five receiver, decent running game beginning of the year.
Yeah.
I just can't wrap my mind around what happened.
What happened is
I just want y'all's opinion.
They're terrible on defense. They make Matt Ryan's terrible at the end of games.
They've been awful in the red zone.
Yeah.
They've turned the ball over in the red zone. When this losing streak started, they were moving the ball up and down the field. And then they'd get inside the five and fumble, or they'd throw a pick, or they'd do something. They would just shoot themselves in the foot.
Listen, on paper, the Falcons are damn near as good as anybody, but that's just on paper.
Well, and if you just look at the statistics, the pure stats, they actually look pretty good. But the problem is, that's the main thing, has really been the red zone woes. And some of that scheme, some of that's... for some reason, they totally ignore Julio Jones in the red zone these days.
Which makes no sense.
Isn't that a guy you want to try to get the ball in the end zone? I mean, he's going to go up and get it. So I think part of it's scheme, part of it's just they choke a little bit. And once you get that in your head and it starts happening, it tends to keep happening. It's a very strange thing because that team is not as bad as its record right now. It really isn't.
But, do you know where they rank in total yards among all the teams?
I bet you they're top five.
No, they're just outside the top five. They're number seven.
Okay.
Sheesh. That's a shame. But again, they're bad on defense. They can move the ball, but they're not very well coached. And Matt Ryan is just he's a bonehead. He's one of those guys who, when you watch him play, you're like, you know what, that guy's, there's a lot to like about Matt Ryan for sure.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of Jay Cutler to him though. Like it's,
yeah.
Just when you start to think that this guy's good, he does something that makes you realize, well, he's good, but he's not special good, you know?
And by now, if he was going to be special, I think we'd see it.
I think you're right.
I think we've, you know, his career, he's been a really good quarterback that hasn't quite been able to get him over the hump. And I don't know if, I think he's got weapons around him. It's not like, it's not like he's out there throwing to a bunch of
guys. The guy
was
drafted in 2008.
Yeah, I mean,
this is not a recent draftee that we're still like waiting to like let's wait and see what happens with the guy, and he's a good player again, but he's not even the best quarterback out of his draft class. Mm. So
25th in turnover differential, the Falcons are.
Which, by the way, I just looked up his draft class now, and after Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco, the rest of those guys are very, very bad.
Well, and as you recall from that year, those were the only two quarterbacks. And I think in both cases, when they were drafted, I thought, man, that's too high for those guys. I thought Ryan should have gone where Flacco went, and Flacco should have gone late 20s. Turns out
Flacco was the right pick.
He was the right pick, but there were a lot of questions about him, too, and fair questions coming in. You didn't know, you know, how Delaware was going to translate.
Yeah.
And obviously, he worked out. But yeah, even now, if you're redrafted and you're the Falcons, I still think it's not an easy choice to just say, okay, I'd take Flacco over Ryan, because he did have that. The one thing he'll always have is that run in the playoffs where the 11 touchdowns, no interceptions, and you win a Super Bowl. I don't know that Matt Ryan's ever going to have that in him. If he does, yeah, the Falcons could win it, but I don't know that he's got the right coaching staff there now. I don't know that. I don't know what's going on with that team, because, as you said, on paper they look like they can play with anybody, but on the field they don't, and that's all that matters.
You know, this is no one ever talks about this, because the Texans ended up getting in that draft arguably one of their best draft picks that they've made in Dwayne Brown at 26, but the Ravens traded up to 18 to get Joe Flacco from the Texans.
Yeah.
So the Texans conceivably could have taken Joe Flacco there at 18.
At the time, though,
it didn't make sense. But just in hindsight, that the Texans traded away the pick that ended up being Joe Flacco is a little bit funny. You want to know who else they traded? Who else they got back besides Dwayne Brown? Do you remember?
No.
Steve Slayton. Feel good about that? He was great.
Felt good about a year.
Half a year, maybe.
Yeah, about three quarters of a season. He was better than you could have hoped for.
And Dominique Barber.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Who I will remember best for that game against the Titans, where Chris Johnson lines up as a receiver and he doesn't even bother to guard him, and there's an 80-yard touchdown.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a game that got a lot of people fired, too.
Joe says, Jay Cutler for DeAndre Hopkins, straight up. Do you take it?
I don't know.
That's very difficult.
Yeah.
If you do take that, you're leaving Jay Cutler with everything. I mean, you know what he's got in Chicago? A shaky offensive line. You know what he'd have here? A shaky offensive line. You know what he has in Chicago that he doesn't have here? Weapons on the outside and a good running back.
Alshon Jeffrey and, I don't know that I'd feel pretty good about that.
I've seen that guy play with Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, Matt Forte all at the same time. Martellus Bennett. And instead he'd be trading that out for Nate Washington, Jalen Strong, and Chris Polk. that ain't great. CJ Fedorowicz? No, I don't think I could do that right now. Jay Cutler's a guy who, in the right situation, Jay Cutler can be solid, but DeAndre Hopkins is the, I mean, he's the second best player on that team.
Yeah, and getting one, getting Cutler and losing him, I'm not so sure that that's
well, and also you have to take into account now that Jay Cutler is no longer a young man.
No.
You know, that's a guy who, I don't know how much longer he's got to play. You know, I'd imagine he's got a few more years, but he's 32 years old. Now if you start talking about, would you trade DeAndre Hopkins for Matt Stafford?
That's
more of a conversation.
Yeah, although Matt Stafford's not a young man either.
He's not in his 30s yet, is he?
Look him up.
He's 27.
Okay.
No, yeah, he's
that's young
he's
enough.
Got some time.
Yeah, he's probably got 8 years left.
Yeah.
That's what you want out of your quarterback.
Yeah. You want a little time on those boys.
Some reason I thought he was older than that. Maybe just because
he's been around for a while. Mark Sanchez, the same age, would not trade DeAndre Hopkins for him.
No.
Sam Bradford, younger than Matthew Stafford. I don't want him either.
No. Although he might be available at the end of the year.
He might be. I don't want him.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. I think there's.
If you have him, you better have a really good backup quarterback.
Yeah. Better have a really good running back, too.
Yep.
Well, it's too late to get to this today, but at some point, do you think about, because your running back situation is what it is, you obviously have to go get another one. Do you think about bringing Foster back at a reduced number?
I mean, how reduced?
Well,
what I think you're best off moving on.
I kind of agree, but I think if you can get him to take a...
This is a longer conversation. I think that, well, let's save this for tomorrow.
Okay.
Because I think there's a lot of meat on that bone that we can't get to in the last 20 seconds before we go to break.
I know, it's a really good tease is what this is.
Yeah, that's a radio tease.
Yeah, for tomorrow. We'll get to it tomorrow at some point.
I want you to tell me, I want to be the Texans GM, and I want you to be Arian Foster's agent, and I want you to come to me, and I'll tell you what I think.
Yeah, but the thing is, coming off those injuries, nobody's going to pay him. He's not going to get the kind of money that...
Somebody will.
There's a lot of guys that think...
The Raiders have to... Like, the Raiders, their cap situation is... They have to spend a certain amount of money. They have to, like, throw money at people because otherwise they're under the minimum.
Getting closer, though, from some of the ones they've been paying the last couple
of
years.
But guess what? They're also getting closer as a football team, and now it might make sense to add a guy like Arian Foster to that, you know? Mm-hmm. If the Raiders added Arian Foster, wouldn't you consider them a contender out there in the AFC West?
No, because he'd break.
That's probably true. You're right.
that's the thing. That's why I wouldn't want to sign him. And I don't know why, and I don't know that the Texans would either, but it is worth discussing. We'll get to that tomorrow.
Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Are you up for whatever? Could be a football game, a trip out of town, or maybe a rock concert. Join me and the ESPN 97.5 Road Crew for Up for Whatever Sundays presented by Bud Light. This week, we're at Junction on West Gray from noon until 2. Come watch the Texans face the Colts with us. You never know. It could be your Sunday to win whatever. Also, the HD show with Fred Davis and Henry Thomas at 7 o'clock tonight. And let's do our sports stocking giveaway here. ESPN 97.5 steps up as your secret Santa for the holiday. Does that not sound a little...
I don't like it.
Weird secret Santa.
I don't like
Santa.
How that sounds.
Yeah, kind of like, yeah, come sit on my lap, baby. I'll be your secret Santa. All right. Yeah. ESPN 97.5 steps up as your secret Santa for the holidays. Win the Christmas sports stocking. Keep it for yourself or re-gift it and be done with your shopping. Here's what you get. $50 gift card to Grand Lux Cafe. $50 gift certificate to Top Brass Military and Tactical. An ESPN 97.5 aging barrel from DeepSouthBarrels.com. 2 tickets to see Cirque du Soleil to Rook in Toyota Center, February 11th through the 14th, your choice of show. $25 gift card to Tin Roof Barbecue, $25 gift card to Star Sports Bar, and a $25 gift card to Pier 61 Seafood. We'll take caller number 20. All right, let's do Hoffman on Hollywood.
All right, let's start with David Letterman saying, oh, where's my music, Chong? There we go. David Letterman says that he does not miss the late show at all. In fact, he says he's not looked back since retiring back in May.
Does he miss the intern sex room?
I don't think so. He said, I thought I would have some trouble, some emotional trouble, or some feeling of displacement, but I realized, hey, that's not my problem anymore. And I felt much better. It's something for younger men and women to take on. I'll be 69 next year. 69. I've been doing this for 33 years. What did I want? Like you, work until you're 100. So there's a lot of practical reasons why a person wouldn't miss this. In fact, he says that the show is a little bit irrelevant. He said, because of this introspection, you believe that what you are doing is of great importance and it's affecting mankind wall to wall. Then you get out and you realize, oh, well, that wasn't true at all. It was just silliness. And when that occurred to me, I felt so much better and I realized, geez, I don't think I care that much about television anymore.
Well,
it was misguided by his own ego.
It was pretty obvious he didn't care for the last 5 or 6 years he was on air.
He's like grown that big beard now. Like, he's just fallen off into his own world.
Yeah, he checked out, I would say, 5, 6, 7 years before he retired. So I'm not surprised he feels like that.
You think he's going to die? Guys like that works that much?
I'll give him some time. I think he's actually enjoying this. And because he's from Indiana and kind of used to a slow life, I think he'll be all right. You know, there's a lot of stuff with Star Wars, you know, like toys and things like that.
Condoms.
Here's a list of items, of products that Lucasfilm has filed legal documents to own with their Star Wars branding.
Okay.
Mayonnaise.
Disgusting.
Star Wars mayonnaise. You wouldn't be into that?
No, because I was going to make an inappropriate joke. No.
Window blinds.
Okay.
Mattresses?
No, I get my mattress from Texas Mattress.
Of course
mattress.
You do. Mustard, ketchup, and relish.
Okay.
Frozen meals consisting primarily of pasta or rice.
Okay.
Tortillas.
Oh, yeah, because that's everybody wants, so big in the Star Wars universe. Yeah,
everyone wants that Skywalker tortilla.
the Greedo tortilla.
Marmalades.
Who drinks marmalade anymore anyway?
Veggie burger patties. Bowling balls, bean bags, magic tricks, and fishing tackle.
I hooked a Wookiee. Look at that. I got one.
I hooked one on my Wookiee. Oh, very, very odd what's going on. You familiar with...
That Princess Leia makes me bend my rod.
You familiar with Azalea Banks?
I'm not.
Jong Yu?
No.
Azalea Banks was thrown in jail Tuesday night after she bit a female nightclub bouncer in the boob because she didn't know Azalea was a celebrity, just like you guys don't. Azalea was at Up and Down Nightclub when she tried to get into a party but didn't have an entry stamp. According to witnesses who spoke with the Post, Azalea pitched a fit, swearing and using racial slurs. The manager decided to let Azalea in, but she wasn't done. She started berating the bouncer for not knowing she was on Rihanna's upcoming album. For bad measure, she went back and spit in the guard's face. As she was being escorted out, Azalea allegedly bit the guard in her boob and bit hard. She was arrested for assault and disorderly conduct. Azalea, if you remember back in September, went crazy on a plane screaming homophobic slurs at the flight attendant. And according to the New York District Attorney, Banks has caused redness, swelling, serious pain, and bruising to the boob, and also allegedly tried to punch the bouncer in the face. So, very strong bite on her.
One crazy... Yeah.
And how much time do we have, John?
About 90 seconds.
Okay, maybe I'll save this story for tomorrow, but I was listening to Tarantino, who obviously promoting his movie.
Yeah.
He was supposed to do a big release at a theater... A 70-millimeter theater in the Cinerama Dome in L.A. He, like, signed a deal with them. And basically, Disney said, hey, if you don't play Star Wars in this theater, we're going to pull out of all your theaters.
Oh, wow.
So now The Hateful Eight's getting bumped by Star Wars in this L.A. theater, and he's pretty pissed.
He should be.
Yeah.
Which company?
Cinerama. It's Arclight Cinemas is the name of the cinema group. I guess they've got several hundred theaters, and they were going to pull Star Wars out of all of them, and I guess you can't really afford to not have Star Wars, but maybe a lawsuit looming. That's often on Hollywood. Thank you, Fred. Thank you for your time.